My name's Megan Rademeyer, and I'm here today with Victor Ngubeni. And Victor's going to be telling us about how technology and pedagogy mix. So how do they mix, Victor?
Wait, great. Welcome back, everyone. So yes, my talk is going to be how do technology and pedagogy mix, meaning so we're going to look at a number of scenarios here. The specific scenario that we're going to zoom into is how technology can support educator-led approaches to learning. So these are the kind of classrooms or lessons where the teacher is leading the lesson, so as opposed to more of student-centered lesson. And the module will try and address three areas. The first area is how educators can use technology to cater for students with different learning approaches. The second one is how educators can make effective presentations. Now, this is very important because as much as there are so many tools out there, there are so many resources out there, educators should still take efforts to make sure that they make presentations that are effective and not boring to students. So we're going to look at what is a good presentation, what is a bad presentation. We're also going to look at just-in-time learning, unplanned. These are unplanned teaching scenarios. So you're busy delivering a lesson and just something crops up that's not necessarily related to the lesson. How can a teacher cope with that kind of situation? And the last objective that we're going to focus on in this module is how the focus is on being able to identify appropriate technologies to match teaching activities and aims. So we're going to look at how a teacher can make sure that they use the right technologies for their objectives.
Sure, Victor, it sounds like a busy module.
Yes.
But I'm looking forward to it because as much as we talk about student-centered learning, very often it is still the teacher standing in the front delivering a lesson. And that doesn't have to be all bad. It can be done very
yes.
effectively, and technology can help those lessons to be really memorable and engaging and exciting. So maybe you'd like to talk us through the difference between the teacher-centered approach and the student-centered approach.
Well, as you can see on the screen, what I've tried to do is in bullet point, try and summarize what a teacher-centered approach is, what a student-centered approach is, and highlight what the focus for this module is. So in a teacher-centered approach, the teacher is the authority. So I'm the teacher, I'm standing up in front and delivering a message. I'm the authority and I am sort of an expert. And it's still a very important part of learning. As much as we say, hey, learners need to work in groups, they need to collaborate and do teamwork, there are situations where a teacher is required to stand in front and give directions or demonstrate something. And this is what we call a teacher-centered approach. And technology can help a lot in such situations.
For sure. I mean, if every lesson was learners discovering things for themselves and working in groups, a teacher would never get through the curriculum.
Absolutely.
By the end of the year. But for introducing a new topic, for summarizing at
yes.
the end, or giving key pointers, or a really great demonstration, technology can really enhance a lesson and create a memorable experience. Let's begin.
Yeah, we call that a didactic approach
okay.
or didactic teaching. So, you know, and I have examples of scenarios or situations where this teaching becomes relevant. For example, where a teacher is showing the learners how something works. So imagine maybe I'm showing you how autocollage works. So I'm demonstrating this is autocollage, it's a new tool to the students, and I'm showing them this is how you take pictures, put them in a folder, you create a collage. So that could be a didactic approach. Also, how you can practice showing students how they can practice new information. You've shown them something and you're demonstrating how they can use what you've shown in a new sort of situation. So it's more about the teacher providing facts to the students.
So we've heard the expression, the sage on the stage.
Yes.
And that's really didactic teaching. But it doesn't have to be a bad thing. We know that sometimes the teacher should also be the guide on the side.
Yes.
But so sometimes the sage on the stage can be done really well.
You can have different approaches in one lesson. So you can mix them up, right? You can, you know, at the beginning of the lesson, as an introduction maybe, do a situation where you're standing in front and delivering a message, and thereafter you get them to work in groups, and so you mix things up and make it interesting and fun.
So Victor, what role can ICT play in didactic teaching?
A number of roles. So but let's remember, it's all about the teacher achieving the learning outcomes or the learning objectives. But there are a number of things, number of roles that technology can play. For example, you can have software that, as much as you're doing a didactic approach or a direct approach, but the students are involved. So maybe you have a clicker system where you created a presentation and kids are involved. So it's not just direct, but then you get them involved somehow. You can use a didactic approach and maybe you're showing them something, some content from the screen, and they can see how to go through the content. Or maybe they're doing some research, and you're showing them how to go about doing that research.
Okay, and also it can be used for assessment.
Yeah, assessment, as I said, in a clicker system, or as I'll show you later, this is the software that teachers can download from the Microsoft Educator Network called Mouse Mischief, which enables teachers to create PowerPoints and build into the PowerPoint multiple choice questions. And the students, using mice, they can interact with the presentation and therefore get involved in the presentation and participate and make it interactive.
And it's a way of a teacher making sure that they stay engaged, and also for a teacher to check as he or she goes along,
yes,
that the students understand what's being covered, or if she perhaps needs to go back and explain something again.
And so your kids or your students are not asleep during a presentation, they are awake. They're seeing what's going on and they're being engaged.
So
the whole point of this.
You've touched on a clicker system or a tool like Microsoft's Mouse Mischief being used for assessment. But what are some other hardware tools that can be used for interactive presentations?
There are a number of tools. So what I have is I've divided the tools into tools for sharing. So these are tools that a teacher can use to demonstrate something, to show something. Things like data projectors or visualizers or USB microscope. So these are tools that the teacher can use to share content. But on the other hand, you have tools that teachers can use to make students interact with the lesson. Things like clicker system, or what we call handheld voting devices. Teacher creates a lesson, then the kids, using clickers or even Mouse Mischief, they interact with the presentation. Also interactive whiteboards, so teachers can use interactive whiteboards to get students to interact, touch the content, touch the boards, and do all sorts of stuff on the whiteboard.
And they could mix it up, try Mouse Mischief this lesson,
yes,
and then something else the next lesson, so that they don't get sort of stuck in a rut.
Or even in one lesson, you mix it up. So start with PowerPoint presentation, get them to maybe, you know, go onto a whiteboard and do stuff on the whiteboard. So make it like interactive and varied.
In fact, talking of mixing it up, in a little while you're going to be telling us about Office Mix, which is a great new tool. A PowerPoint presentation to life and getting students involved.
Great.
But before we get there, Victor, you've got a nice table here that differentiates between giving a lecture and giving an effective presentation. Can you talk us through this?
Right. Great. Now, what you can see up on the screen is, so what I've tried to do is look at what is a lecture, what are the characteristics, or what makes up a lecture, and what makes up an effective presentation. We're not saying lectures are boring. There are people who are able to, who have the ability to make lectures in like interesting. But what is an effective presentation? You can make a presentation that's effective by, you know, using a number of things. For example, if you create a presentation and you have people respond to your presentation, so there's feedback and there's an exchange of information. It's not just people presenting information to people, but making them, you know, interact and use things like multimedia in your presentation. Let's say it's a PowerPoint, make sure you have use pictures, movie clips and sound, animations. This makes the presentation comes alive. So it's not boring and just people are just looking at your presentation, but they are interacting. But on the other hand, you can see what makes people fall asleep during lectures. It's one-way communication. The teacher reads from an original source. I'm sure you've experienced those kind of things, right?
I think if we think back to our university days or our days at college, we can probably remember those lecturers whose sessions we looked forward to, where we didn't miss them because the person was a really good storyteller gave great examples. Yes. Maybe they didn't use technology, or maybe they found great little YouTube videos or a really appropriate cartoon that they'd put on the screen, or they'd ask a controversial question and get the students in the audience to respond. So we remember those lectures.
We do. Hey.
And then we also remember the ones that we slept through or perhaps bunked because we knew that the lecturer would just be standing there reading from the textbook that we already had a copy of. So I think teachers should reflect on their experiences as students and think of the presentations they enjoyed and try use some of those techniques in their own classroom and try and avoid the techniques that put you to sleep. So Victor, you've referred to Mouse Mischief, but here it is shown on the screen. Can you tell us a bit more about it?
And I wish I had this kind of solution software during my teaching days. It's a great software. As I said, it's one software that a teacher can use to make learning fun and interactive. And so how does it work? So just normal PowerPoint. Mouse Mischief is an add-in to PowerPoint. So when you download it, install it, it forms part of your PowerPoint. So
you get that from the Microsoft Educator Network.
Yeah, absolutely. We will show how teachers can really download that later. So how it works is that it's a free tool, by the way. And then when you install it, it becomes part of PowerPoint. So it will appear at the tab as one of your tabs. You can still create your PowerPoint as you used to. And the great thing is you can take your old PowerPoint presentations and install the Mouse Mischief. And this will allow you to insert in between your PowerPoints multiple choice questions or activities where kids have to draw on your PowerPoint. But in order to work, you need mice. You need you need to find a way in which to connect your students through the mice. So whether is it mouses or mice?
I'm never too sure.
but that's what you need, right? You need to get mice, and then connect. So What I've seen in the past, there are two ways. You can have four or five students connected to one PC. So they're doing maybe a presentation that we've created for them on that PC. Or you can use wireless mice. You know wireless mice?
Yes.
Then, so each wireless mouse will go with a trans receiver or something that connects that mouse wirelessly. And then create the PowerPoint and kids interact with their PowerPoints. You ask them yes or no questions, multiple choice questions, drawing questions, and stuff.
So you have, say, five students connected to one computer.
Yeah.
And the student knows I'm the teddy bear icon,
yes,
or I'm the bunny. And they are then able to select the answers or draw on the screen. So mouses aren't that expensive.
Yes, it's a cheap option.
You can get the ones that have the cord and maybe one of those USB hubs. And it's a way of letting five students interact with one computer. And as you were saying, you can customize your PowerPoint.
Yes.
So maybe have two or three content slides where you teach them something and then a quick quiz.
Yes.
And then you carry on.
I've used mouse mischief in a number of situations. The moment you connect the mouse and kids start moving the mice and they see the icons on the screen, they get so excited. And so it can get messy. But the great thing with mouse mischief is that the teacher still has control. If you want to disable the mouse, you there's a function there, and then you disable the mice.
Okay.
And so you can have their attention. If you want to bring them on again, you just click on a button, and then they're all on your screen again.
So I think Mouse Mischief is definitely worth a try, and teachers can get that from the free tools tab of the Microsoft Educator Network. But you've got another tool you'd like to talk about, another way of bringing PowerPoints to life.
Yes, it's called Office Mix. This is a newer tool, and with Office Mix you can do more. So with Mouse Mischief, remember, you can just do multiple choice questions and kids answer the questions. And as a teacher and them too, they see feedback in terms of who answered the right question and who got it wrong and so on. But with Office Mix, you can take it a step further. You can record yourself, like if your PC has a camera,
webcam,
a webcam,
yes.
You can record yourself doing a presentation on different parts or sections of your presentation. And also it's an add-in to PowerPoint, so when you install it, it will become part of your PowerPoint tab space. And then you can also now, this is the great thing, you can record your voice, right? Let's say you want to set a task where you want kids to do something step by step, so you can record yourself telling them what to do in the task. You can write, if you've got if you're using a PC that has a stylus pen and has maybe a tablet that has touch capability, you can write instructions by hand. You can insert quizzes and exercises. Now, here's a great thing about Office Mix. After creating all these things, you just click Create Mix, and then the tool will mix everything, your voice, your video, your quizzes, into one big PowerPoint presentation.
Okay.
That you can send to your student. So it will create a link for you, and you can send a link to your students. The students go and open up the link. The link will open up the PowerPoint. They start doing the task. They start doing the interactive stuff like the quizzes and so on. As they complete that, they click finish or submit. And then on your end, you will get results on who has done the task and whether they got the answers right or wrong. So it's quite a great way to encourage anytime, anywhere learning. You create a mix, send it to the students do the task, you get feedback.
So it sounds fantastic.
Yes.
And it's great to think that it's free. If you already have PowerPoint, you can create a mix.
Yes.
But I'm trying to think of some great ways that a teacher could use this. You've mentioned anywhere, anytime learning.
Yes, yeah.
But I'm thinking if a teacher perhaps knows that they're going to miss a lesson, perhaps they're going to a conference or there's some professional development and they won't be in class
yes.
that day, they could perhaps produce a mix. And the students know that they need to work through it. And the teacher will be able to see who did it and who didn't do it, because they can see who completed the quizzes.
Yes, and the quizzes are the input into an Excel document, so that analyzes your responses. So it will tell you, who got sort of in graph formats, like how your kids are performing as they submit the task.
So a teacher doesn't come home to a pile of marking. It's all already been done.
It's a great tool.
I also think it could be used really nicely in a flipped classroom, where a teacher's trying to get kids to go through some of the content in advance of the lesson, so that they can then spend the time in class exploring that more deeply. If a teacher puts together a mix, the teacher can teach them that content, but at some other time, rather than taking up class time. Also really nice for revision. A student could go back and review the office mix, and would have the teacher there sort of teaching it without the teacher having to repeat those lessons.
And I like the handwriting capability. So the fact that you can draw things, you can write by hand in different colors, really makes your PowerPoint come alive.
I do think that one's worth giving a whirl. But Victor, let's talk about a common scenario. A teacher trying to teach something and there's some child at the back asking a question that may or may not be related.
So this, I came up with this idea in a way of trying to explain what you call just-in-time learning. A scenario in which, or a situation in which a teacher is dealing with a specific lesson, a topic in the classroom, and all of a sudden a kid comes up with something not really related to the lesson, and how can a teacher deal with such a situation? Probably using technology. And it says, you're a biology teacher teaching a lesson on human waterborne diseases. One of your students asks a lesson whether Ebola can be transmitted or transferred through the air. You're not sure, how do you respond? And I've got a couple of options there. A, do you tell him to go home and do his research? Like dismiss the question? Or do you ask him to park the lesson until the next lesson? Or do you ask the learners to pull out their cell phones and do research? Or do you tell the learners not to ask questions not related to the lesson?
And I think the problem here is a teacher who maybe isn't that confident of their subject knowledge, and perhaps who's prepared a lesson on human waterborne diseases and knows that content because that's what they plan to teach for the day.
Right.
The temptation is to say, go figure it out at home, or don't distract me, while I'm trying to teach you about human waterborne diseases. But he has perhaps a golden learning moment.
Yes. And obviously, as you can tell, the best possible answer would be to say to the learners, okay, I know it's not part of the lesson, but I think it's interesting. And also it's very current.
It's topical, it's in the news.
Yes.
Students are maybe thinking, is this something I'm at risk of catching? And let's face it, teachers can't be expected to know everything, but if you've got a cell phone in your pocket that has internet capabilities, you have access to all the answers. Why not make it part of the lesson to get students to do some research?
And this would be another way to demonstrate to students that they can bring things like cell phones into the classroom, but for a real or good purpose, which is learning.
Yes.
Yeah.
So lots of schools have a no cell phone policy. And often it's because cell phones are abused, they're used for cyberbullying, they get stolen at school or misplaced. But if schools start to see the value of using technology appropriately as part of a structured lesson, they'll be more amenable to letting students have access to technology.
And of course, that question is based on the assumption that most basic cell phones these days can access the internet, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Victor, that scenario is an example of how a teacher can use a just-in-time learning opportunity. Can you talk a bit more about how technology can help this type of learning?
So, just-in-time learning, yeah, is the learning that is not necessarily planned, but just it occurs during some form of a lesson. So, it's something that just crops up. It's unplanned and it's important, although it's not part of the lesson, it needs to be addressed by the teacher. So the thing is that with technology, it is spontaneous. So because technology provides spontaneous information, so think of a situation where kids are using cell phones. So it can address those spontaneous moments where a teacher is teaching a lesson and then a kid is asking a question not directly related to the question, but something important. So you can use technology to address those moments. And it becomes an effective tool for something that is more spontaneous and requires some creativity.
Yeah, so yeah. Teachers do have to look out for students who are just trying to waste time.
Yes, of course.
But when it's appropriate, technology can be used to make the most of those teachable moments. Speaking of teachable moments, Victor, we've talked before in the introduction about how if students feel that they're doing something meaningful and worthwhile, as opposed to just doing something for marks, they take it far more seriously. You've got a great example here of how ICT was really used to address a real problem. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, so in this example, we have a... This is an example of a student-inspired project or lesson. So Maxwell Funo, a teacher from the Western Cape, identified or observed that his learners come to the class with injuries. And then he tried to inquire, what is the problem? And the kids said, you know, the environment that we live in is hazardous, like it's dangerous. So people are throwing stuff, bottles all over the place, and we get hurt. And then the teacher said, what can we do about it? And then the kids came up with a solution to say, okay, maybe we need to make the community more aware of the problem here, which is environmental pollution. And they said, okay, and you know, what tools can we use? And the kids came up with an idea to create movies to make people more aware, to create autocollage to make people more aware of the problem. And not only did they stop there, they went out into the community and show these products or these movies and autocollage to the people out there, and just to make people more aware. And the result was that there was a campaign in that area for the people, the community, to clean up the environment.
So Victor, I think you've proven that technology and pedagogy certainly can mix.
Right.
And when done well, technology can really enhance education and lead to students doing worthwhile, meaningful projects and lessons that they'll remember. That's it for this Microsoft Virtual Academy for Africa.
But we're not done yet, right?
No. So
I'm up next. Yeah.
With Module 4. And in Module 4, we're going to be looking at basic ICT tools and how these can enhance teaching and learning. So I do hope teachers will join us then. Bye for now.
Don't go away. Bye.